back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, according to the National Cancer Institute, each year in this country there are approximately 207,000 new cases of breast cancer in women and almost 2,000 cases in men. And nearly 40,000 women and 400 men will die of the disease annually. Treatments for breast cancer have advanced to include targeted therapies such as biologics like aromatase inhibitors, alongside the traditional mainstay of treatments that include radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery. And surgical interventions have evolved so that more patients are being treated with localized surgeries like lumpectomies in favor of complete mastectomies with very positive outcomes. But some recent research into the necessity of removing a woman's lymph nodes has resulted in some discussion and even controversy. According to a study published in the February 9th Journal of the American Medical Association, researchers found that removing lymph nodes in women with early-stage breast cancer did not improve their chances of a recurrence or surviving when compared to leaving the nodes behind during breast cancer surgery. Well, joining us this morning to shed some light on this study and the evidence-based surgical treatments that are currently the standard of care is Dr. Kara Court, Associate Professor of Surgery at Upstate Medical University and the Medical Director of the Patricia Jane Newman Breast and Endocrine Surgery Center. Dr. Court is a general and trauma surgeon specializing in breast and thyroid surgery. Welcome, Dr. Court.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you could make it today.
My pleasure.
Well, you were mentored by Dr. Newman, who I alluded to in as the namesake of the center.
Absolutely.
And I know she did both breast and thyroid surgery. Are you doing the same?
Pretty much, yep. I pretty much mirror her practice.
Yeah. Well, we're very, very lucky to have people of your caliber doing that kind of work here in Syracuse.
Thanks.
Let's get to the study.
Sure.
It sounds to me like this study is almost turning standard medical practice or surgical practice on its head because, well, you help us. Before that, surgeons were pretty much removing all lymph nodes, weren't
sure.
they?
Sure. So the status of a woman's lymph nodes at the time of surgery has always been crucial information, or so we thought. And I think it still is crucial information, but we actually thought that it served a purpose with regard to controlling their disease and perhaps even improving their survival. But as therapies have changed, like you mentioned earlier, better radiation, better chemo, better hormonal drugs, what these investigators wanted to look at was, does it really still in this day and age make a difference if you take out those positive lymph nodes or if you leave them behind? So they came up with a very, very interesting study, and that's what this was.
Yeah, it seemed like they had 115 medical centers, and they had 891 patients, and the median age were women in their mid-50s.
Correct.
And they followed them for a pretty long time, about 6 years.
Right. They were actually going to follow them longer, but this study actually got discontinued earlier than its anticipated date because the results were so surprising. The survival was much better than they had anticipated, so they actually stopped the study because it was sort of a groundbreaking finding.
That's very interesting. So, but it's still important. I mean, you still would take one node at least to determine whether it had gone to the nodes, and that has some significance.
Correct.
That in itself has significance.
Correct.
Right?
So we've always taken lymph nodes. We've always said for really two basic reasons. One is staging. A woman always wants to know what stage her cancer is, and that helps us decide what treatment she gets and what her survival is likely to be. But we also did it for what we call local control, meaning if there's cancer there, we should get it out so it doesn't continue to grow. And again, a small portion we thought improved their survival.
Go back to the first thing as far as staging. So help our listeners understand, how does one determine from the status of a lymph node what the stage of cancer is?
Okay, so, and this is always a very confusing issue for patients. Patients tend to confuse terminology, but stage is basically, in most cancers, based on three things. How big is your tumor? Is it or is it not in your lymph nodes? And has it spread to anywhere else in your body? And we call that TNM, tumor size, lymph node, and metastasis.
If, in fact, it's found in the lymph nodes, it means that it has moved out of its initial
Correct.
Spot.
Correct.
And therefore, it could then kind of disperse throughout the body.
Correct. And in today's day and age, despite all the other factors we have to look at, how many lymph nodes a woman has positive or whether or not it's in her lymph nodes still remains probably one of the most important prognostic factors. And that's when you sit down with a woman And you tell her what her chances that this may someday come back and how important chemotherapy would be, et cetera, et cetera.
So again, what it sounds like is it's very important as an evaluation tool as far as stage and status of the disease. But in terms of treatment, in terms of actually excising the lymph nodes, at least in this case, in these cases, in these types of patients, it didn't seem to be the critical factor. That other, they obviously would still need treatment like chemotherapy and or radiation.
Correct. And they talk about that in the study, that in today's day and age, we actually, in the last many years, we've become more liberal with our use of chemotherapy. So many women, even though their lymph nodes are negative, still get chemotherapy. And that's a big change from the 70s and 80s. And so that plays into this as well, that perhaps those additional treatments are what it's making the difference. And actually going in and taking all the lymph nodes out of a woman's armpit, really, that didn't make much of a difference. And that's sort of, at least in this small group of people, that's what it showed, or at least this subset of women. And we could talk about that.
Yeah, the subset of women, I think, is crucial here, too, because I think there's some... There's some warning that needs to be made, and that is these women were in generally early stage of cancer.
Yeah, relatively early. They could have a tumor up to 5 centimeters, you know, which is not huge, but it's not tiny either. They couldn't have, you know, big lymph nodes that you could feel, and the doctor was suspicious that they had cancer in it. And they were also women that you knew were just going to have their breast cancer treated by a lumpectomy and radiation. That's different than women that are going to have a mastectomy. Now, why is that? It's simply the subset of women that they chose for this study.
But what is the implication of that? In other words, if it's early enough, then we could be more comfortable that radiation and chemotherapy could get rid of whatever was left? Is that the idea?
Correct. Whereas- and I think, you know, if a woman came to me today and she was going to have a mastectomy and wanted me to apply these findings to her case, I think we could discuss it, but I have to warn her that it, at least in this study, the only group of women they looked at were women that had a lumpectomy, radiation, and the vast majority of them had chemotherapy.
Is that because generally we don't know about microscopic, so-called microscopic cancer that kind of can get out even if you excise all the lymph nodes or all the tumor?
Correct. I mean, the reason years ago we started giving chemotherapy to people with negative lymph nodes is the original theory on breast cancer back in the 50s and 60s was that if it had spread to your lymph nodes, they were fearful it would spread elsewhere. And we thought that if your lymph nodes were negative, you were good. But what we realized was, unfortunately, many of those women come back years later and it's in their bone or in their lungs. And that's when we realized, wow, it can actually, little bits can get out and spread to distant sites, even though it never got to your lymph nodes. And that sort of changed the whole theory on breast cancer.
Right. So that makes even more important the chemo and the
radiation.
Correct.
And that's
follow-ups.
Where that more liberal use of chemotherapy came in.
So how is the medical community and patients reacting to this? I would think that if I were a patient, I might still want it done. I mean, I might still say, oh, take them all out. And I'm curious as to what's happening in terms of the general reaction.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, no one has really questioned me yet about it. I know that at Memorial Sloan Kettering, they've already adapted this practice. And Monica Moreau, who is one of the study members, said that they actually knew the results were coming out, and she's already started there. They don't, if that sentinel node at the time of surgery is positive, they don't do anything else.
So the sentinel node, meaning the one node they take and they do the analysis of, the pathology comes back that it has spread.
Correct. So if, so for people to understand, your sentinel node is the first one or two lymph nodes that would be positive if cancer was to spread.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and in that case, they're not taking them. Is that true across the board, or just that subset of patients that we talked about at Sloan Kettering? You said they're not taking any, they're not doing anything further if it comes back positive.
Correct. So usually a sentinel node, we look at it right there in the operating room. The pathologist comes down, he cuts it open, and he calls in and tells the surgeon it's either positive or negative. Standard care prior to this article was that if it was negative, you stopped and you didn't do anything further. And if the pathologist saw cancer cells, then you made a bigger incision. You took, you know, the majority of lymph nodes out of that woman's axilla.
But you're saying that originally or earlier we were talking about the fact that this would only be true in a certain subset of patients. And you're saying at Sloan Kettering they're doing this for all patients?
No, Sloan Kettering said that in this subgroup, if they do a lumpectomy.
Oh, in this subgroup.
Yeah, if they have a patient that fits this criteria and her sentinel node is positive, they're going to stop there.
What are the downsides of doing these lymph node removals? I think that
it's pretty significant. In fact, in this study, you know, they compare both groups and they compared what was the morbidity or the complication rate of having all your lymph nodes taken out or just one or two. And the difference was 70% versus about 20%. And taking all the lymph nodes out of a woman's armpit is not without risks. It puts them at great risk of getting what's called a seroma, which is sort of a big annoying fluid collection under your armpit where your lymph drains. The biggest complication is what's called lymphedema, which is sort of a chronically uncomfortable swollen arm. And unfortunately, once it occurs, it's sort of a lifelong problem. And so it's a dreaded complication. We hate when it happens.
So it sounds like this new trend, so to speak, potentially a new trend. I mean, especially if they do more studies
sure.
with different subsets of women, could be very positive in terms of the outcomes for women generally.
Oh, absolutely. I can
avoiding
tell you,
these.
Right. Most breast surgeons really don't enjoy doing a lymph node dissection. We understand the morbidity, and it's just a very uncomfortable place to have major surgery.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that in general things are changing in breast surgery? I mean, do you
oh,
see
absolutely.
Other trends? What else is happening that's different?
Well, I think all the treatment has become more refined. You know, you mentioned the chemotherapies. They're much more directed nowadays. There's much more targeted therapy. People talk about things like Herceptin. Again, I'm not an oncologist, but those mm-hmm. are really directed therapies. You know, we've learned more about the different biologies of breast cancer. You know, in the past, breast cancer was breast cancer, and maybe we only knew the difference between the estrogen positives and the estrogen negatives. Now we've sort of broken it down. We really have studied the biology, and I think that's what we're learning, that's really the crucial feature, not necessarily how big it is or things like that.
But is that changing also the way surgeons approach the situation? I mean, like we mentioned, they're doing more lumpectomies as opposed to, you know, full, complete mastectomies?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother controversial issue. That's, you know, the pendulum, it's interesting. The pendulum's almost starting to swing the other way. There's sort of an epidemic of women, especially young women, wanting both breasts removed. But that's a topic for a whole nother discussion. But that's a big issue in medicine right now.
And why would you say that? I mean, without going into great detail.
Yeah, you know, people are concerned about what that is. One of the theories out there is we do a lot of breast MRIs nowadays, and breast MRIs are great at picking up cancers, but they tend to pick up a lot of other stuff that turns out to be nothing. But sometimes that's enough to scare a woman that she says, you know what, never want to go through this fear again. I want both my breasts off. And, you know, one of the other theories is now reconstruction availabilities are great. And so a woman is much more likely to say, you know what, I will have both my breasts off so I never have to worry about this again.
And we have right here, I mean, right here at Upstate, there are some really very, very new and kind of cutting edge, not to pun,
yeah.
Surgical
absolutely. We just hired our own plastic reconstructive surgeon, Dr. Michael Curtis, and he is phenomenal. That's his. He was specialty trained in breast reconstruction.
We actually had an opportunity to talk with him when he first arrived.
And yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
wonderful.
He's wonderful. So it sounds like there are some wonderful breakthroughs going on. And are you doing a lot of thyroid surgery as well?
Yeah, I do an awful lot of thyroid surgery.
And the reason for thyroid surgery generally is thyroid
Most of
cancer?
The time it's no. Most of the time it's not cancer. Most of the time it's sort of what we call benign nodular disease. You know, that's another story. You know, we do a lot of ultrasounds and x-rays, and we pick up a lot of things that we probably wouldn't have noticed before. So, you know, we do a lot of surgery for that too.
Well, it's very, very important and very, very wonderful to know that we have someone of your caliber, as I said earlier, doing all of that
Excellent.
Kind of work. Well, perhaps you'll come back and talk to us more about thyroid surgery
Absolutely.
At another day. That would
I would
be wonderful.
Gladly do that.
Well, Dr. Caracord, Associate Professor of Surgery at Upstate Medical University, thank you so much for joining us. I think we've learned an awful lot about this topic, and we hope that there'll be continued positive outcomes for women with breast cancer surgery. Thanks for sharing your expertise today.
My pleasure.
All right, we have to take a short break. Please stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.